God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In the book of Mark, real quick, keep your finger in Ephesus. Stay in Ephesus. But go over to Mark. Go to chapter 9 in Mark. Okay? Now, we're going to read a passage in Mark 9. But before we do, I want you to go to Luke. Don't get mad at me. The Lord is putting this in my head right now as I talk. I was going to read Mark. He said, no, go to Luke first. And I feel like telling him to just preach. Now, go to Luke 5. Now, I brought a different translation to the pulpit. I wanted to bring my standard one, but I have a new King James. Okay, so it just changes some of the words for convenience sake. It's not a heretical Bible. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to push out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitude. And when he stopped speaking, he said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a great catch. Now, what's about to happen is a great miracle of God's supply. You with me? But when you read this passage, Jesus just told them what to do. He had no expectation of their faith. He just said, do it. Do it. It's all you just do it. If God ever tells you to do something, it's got nothing to do with your faith. If you ever have a directive command from God, he's already done it. So there's no speculation. Just do it. If he says to me, come stand up behind the pulpit and stand on your right leg, and I come up and stand on both, whatever he wants to do will be hindered by my disobedience, not lack of faith. Disobedience. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a great catch. Lord, we've struggled all night. What comes in? Reasoning. We struggled all night. But we're going to do what you say. Boom. Great catch. So much so, he has to call in others. But then when we go to Mark 9, watch Jesus' response. Some of the same men. Father has an epileptic son. He brings his epileptic son to the apostles, and they are incapable of helping. Jesus comes down exasperated. How long do I have to put up with you? He didn't say that in Luke 5. It was the initial connection in Luke 5. They didn't know what they were capable of. Let alone him. Do you think God would call you to do what you are incapable of doing? No. No. No, he would not. Some of you are now processing. I hear you, you pragmatic people. No, no. See, now, Pastor, sometime God call you to do what you can't do. Listen to my question. Do you think that God would call you to do something that you are not capable of doing? And you don't know your capability until you submit to the call of God. Moses said, I cannot speak well. God said, take Aaron. You hear him? Take Aaron to do what? To talk to Pharaoh. But nowhere after that does Aaron speak for Moses to the people. What happened? Moses got confidence. when he saw the river turned into blood and frogs jumping up on the land and cattle dying and the sun turned black, Moses said, brother, I don't need you no more. Because now I know if God called me, he's going to speak through me. Everybody starts out with a crutch. But here's the problem amongst us Pentecostals. We never get rid of our crutch. We lean on the pastor from salvation to death. Jesus is completely frustrated with them and says, how long do I have to put up with you? What a question. But he didn't say it in the beginning. So what is he saying? By now, you should have grown. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4. After teaching you all those principles in chapters 1, 2, and 3, by now, you should have grown. And you're going to get to the most significant ministry in your life. See, a lot of preachers are frustrated. Pastor, you don't never give me a chance to preach. I didn't call you. So if I didn't call you, I don't have a responsibility to let you preach. One young man played baseball for the New York Yankees in the early 1920s, and he played first base. His name was Wally Pipp. And Wally Pipp played first base for the Yankees for a number of years. He was their starting first baseman. And there was a young man sitting on the bench who also had been trained in playing first base, but he was not yet ready to step in for Wally. And one day while he was playing, the ball comes down towards first baseman, and it skips up and hits him, and Wally can't play. He's starting to see double. And so they take him out of the game and sit him down, and he's thinking that this is just going to be for a short time. And the man who replaces him was named Lou Gehrig. And Lou Gehrig played over 1,000 games, and Wally just sat there rubbing his head. And Lou went on to make history. He didn't say, you brought me up here and sat me on the bench. I want to play now. He waited for his chance. He knew that the Yankees saw something in him. And so they went out and they purchased him from Columbia University. And they said, you sit on the bench and you learn. And when your time comes, step in. And he stepped in and became the Iron Man of baseball. You're waiting for me to put you up in the pulpit, but you haven't sat on the bench long enough. You haven't learned anything. And what is it that I'm supposed to learn, Pastor? Should I learn eschatology? Should I learn hamartiology? Should I learn theology? Should I learn these things before I'm qualified to preach? No. 1,000 times no. For Paul addresses what it is you ought to be equipped to do. When you continue to explore Ephesians chapter 4, and it's so rich that he has to take it over into the 5th chapter. He begins to show you what our teaching responsibility truly is. As he brings us through this great equipping of chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, for the equipping of the saints, he then adds the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Once again, pragmatists, how is the body edified? Is it edified when someone stands up and preaches? Not necessarily, because some people cannot preach. And we need to understand the distinction between called to ministry and gifted to preach. Oh, God. Boy, I wish he wasn't here this week. Look at this. He further teaches that there is a definitive aspect till we all come to the unity of faith. What brings us to the unity of the faith? Oh, teaching on faith. That doesn't bring us to the unity of faith. That causes debate. Because my concept of faith might not be yours. So we're going to sit in our 45-minute classroom arguing the concepts of faith. We're going to argue it out. We're going to say faith without works is dead. Then we're going to wonder what works are. Then we're going to say, oh, I speak it by faith. Then there's the oblivious, I claimed it. We're just completely oblivious to what that means. I claim it by faith. Really? Do you understand the concept of claiming? And we only claim things that are not living. I claim that car. Really? You become one with the car. Is that why you run over people in church? I claim that sofa. You become one with the sofa. That's why you let people sit on you and do whatever they want to do to you, because you claim the sofa. Where is it in the Bible that we're to claim inanimate objects? I claim victory. You don't claim victory. You walk in victory. Victory begins here. Really, it begins before here. It begins in the training. The training reshapes this so that this becomes a victorious mind. When one has a victorious mind, victory is the thing that's consistently before them. My God, Paul's going somewhere in this. I don't know why he has such a passion with this church and its companion church of Colossae. The messages of both Ephesus and Colossae are connected. There's something that he's trying to drive home here that we're missing in our Pentecostal experiences. Oh, I just love my pastor. Every time I call my, I hear this on radio. Every time I call my pastor, he or she is there, and the pastor's chest is getting bigger. Yes, I take care of my people. My God, all you're doing is promoting immaturity. You're making those people dependent upon you. You are causing them to have their faith shipwrecked when you can't be there. Or maybe you just don't want to be there. What happens when the pastor has a breakdown and needs to be encouraged? What happens when the pastor just doesn't feel like pushing you to the finish line? This is why we have so much church hopping, because I no longer get what I want from my pastor, so I'm looking for somebody else to give me what I want. When do we stabilize and recognize that that person has a task to bring me to maturity, to teach me principles of something far greater? Hear me, something far greater than church. Something far greater than church is what Paul addresses here at Ephesus and in Colossae. Something that is greater, that has missed our radar because we're so ministry oriented. People actually become frustrated when they can't do ministry. I can't believe it. God put this in my heart. Why is it that God gives you burdens to do ministry, but not burdens to get along? I don't understand. God gave me a burden to preach the word, but I don't have a burden to speak to the person next to me.
If you believe, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.